This is an Enterprise Times podcast. Today I'm talking with Phil Lewis, Vice President Solution Consulting EMEA at Infor. We're talking about the adoption of cloud software by manufacturers. Phil, hi.
Hi, Steve.
Phil, can we agree that historically manufacturers were late to adopt cloud software? Why was that pre-COVID-19, let's say, and how are things changing now we're entering the pandemic crisis?
There's a number of reasons for the slow adoption, Steve. Number one, probably choice. We're only now getting to a point with cloud enterprise applications where they are fit for purpose. If we're talking about manufacturing businesses, they're complex businesses. The requirement of a cloud solution has to match that complexity. What we're seeing now in the cloud is far more choice when it comes to industry-specific capabilities. Yeah, that's exactly what manufacturers need. We think about how they've been running their systems for the past 20 years almost. Everybody's been doing the same thing. They've been running their own hardware. They've been managing their own operating systems and database management systems, and then actually having to modify those applications that they used to run the business, normally to meet industry-specific requirements. They've been employing significant IT staff and IT capabilities just to keep all of that running. And there was a perception that that was the right thing to do. We're now seeing a shift, and pre-COVID-19, we were certainly seeing a shift to the cloud because the choice is no longer limited. Manufacturers, no matter what industry they're in, can look towards the cloud and they can see applications that are actually purpose-built for their industry. So that means a number of things. It means that they can leverage the huge advantages that the cloud brings, but also they can wave goodbye to some of those modifications that they used to have to make just around industry-specific requirements. What we see now is the hurdles that we used to have to get over as a software provider and a cloud provider are actually disappearing, because we used to be having conversations with IT people about what's my job going to be, what's my role going to be, how are things going to change for me. Whereas now people are opening their eyes to what cloud can actually do, and we've seen an acceleration in that, I think, over the last 2 months as people are experimenting with productivity tools in the cloud, etc. But even before that, we were seeing IT people with a desire to change the way that they're seen within their organization. They're not just there to keep the lights on. They're not just there to keep the servers going, but they're actually there as a legitimate value add role within the organization to help that organization position itself for the future and start to deploy some of these transformative technologies that are delivered as a result of moving to the cloud.
Couple of things there. It almost sounds like the role of IT is changing to be less IT and more business process. They have to understand the IT, but actually it's almost less technical and more business focused.
Absolutely. I completely agree. There's a transition where IT staff are being seen as a key role within the organization. They are the people that will be delivering the transformative capabilities and value to the organization. They are the people who will be unlocking the potential of these technologies that we hear all about today, you know, things like IoT and big data and how to maximize the potential of AI and machine learning. So they are far more aligned to the future of the business rather than just keeping things ticking over today and making sure that people are able to access the systems that they need to access and that the network is robust and the database is optimized. They are far more aligned now to what happens next within the business. It's not just what happens today. It's how are we going to optimize what we do today and how are we going to transform this business so that we're relevant over the next 10 years.
It's not just about today or tomorrow. It's also about next week, next year, 5 years' time. The only constant is change, is the well-known phrase. But the new role of IT has changed and has evolved, but will continue. Are you saying there's no longer that fear that used to be the case?
It's definitely diminishing. As IT people are involved alongside key business users and involved in strategy conversations with C-level executives for where are we going to take this organization, the IT team are now seen far more as value enablers within the organization rather than just a cost that is there to keep the IT systems running along. The role is certainly over the last 18 months, it is elevating itself to new places. And that is removing some of the concerns and some of the fears that we saw 2 years ago with companies shifting to the cloud. I think as people now understand the benefits and they've been well documented, they're all very well understood in terms of security and compliance and regulation and scalability. We know all of that, but it's more, how can this platform unlock the potential of our business? And it's not so much making sure that we can still do what we've done for the last 20 years. We need to do that. It's this forward view. It's the, how can these technologies that I now have as part of my technology platform in the cloud, how can I leverage those technologies to optimize what we do today and make us more efficient and more productive? And how can I use these technologies to actually look for new revenue streams and truly transform the future of the organizations that we work for? The IT role is certainly elevated up within the business to a far more strategic role, whereas before it could have been seen as a very tactical role.
Traditionally, IT teams have been keeping the lights on to a large extent. That's taken up a lot of their time. How have they been able to achieve this transition?
It's an evolution. I don't think you switch from being a traditional, typical IT team responsible for the nuts and bolts in the comms room downstairs, and overnight you become this purveyor of Uber or Airbnb style capabilities to the organization. As they move through the process of getting the cloud-based foundation in place to make sure that the business is functional, the users are happy, they're getting the job done, they're working within this new world, it's the kind of what happens next moment. And they'll get to a point where everything is settled down. People are used to operating in the cloud. They're getting the data that they need. They're getting the analytics that they need, and the job is being done. What happens next? And we do have a great customer actually in Germany who builds electrical enclosures. So they build electrical enclosures for substations on the German national grid, effectively. They moved to the cloud. They've been a long-term user of Infor software. They moved to the cloud. They went live, I suppose, probably about 3 months ago, just before the COVID outbreak. And I had a meeting with the CEO, who's very involved in the business, and his IT team. And they'd been live for 5 days. And they were talking to me saying, Phil, what's next? What's next? This is the very first step in quite a long journey. We want to know how we can optimize our business. We want to know how we can monetize data. We want to know how we can transform what is a 130-year-old business for the next 130 years. We're certainly seeing that mind shift across the organization, not just in IT, the forward view. What happens next? Whereas deploying enterprise solutions was kind of always seen as a destination. It was that thank God we're live moment, and you'd stick with that for 10 years. People are now seeing that as the very first step of a journey of transformation. And it's a big achievement because it's a difficult thing to do. Deploying complex software and services is a difficult thing to do, but people are not seeing that as the destination anymore. They're not seeing it as the goal. They're actually seeing it as the enabler of the goal and the first step of the journey. It takes time for the mindset to shift from what people have been doing for the last 30 years and actually starting to think forwards about what we're going to do for the next 30 years. But we're certainly seeing it. Much of it is driven by future thinking, creative, dynamic management within an organization. You need to have the right CEO. You need to have the right CFO. The people who are responsible for the strategy of the business need to be open to doing things differently and using technology to make that difference. That filters down through the organization to key users within the organization and the IT staff. And when you have that kind of vision within the organization, the whole organization will respond and the whole organization will start to want more and start to want to do things differently and start to embrace technology for the greater good.
You mentioned there that these transition programs are not easy. I think you used the word difficult. So what are the main challenges that organizations face, both in terms of time and in terms of complexity?
Another good question, Steve. We're certainly seeing a change in expectation and a change in requirement from the companies that we work with. Some of this, the fault does lie with how software vendors have done this for the last 20, 30 years. there's always been two key processes in customer engagement, and that is we sell something and then separately we deliver something. That has to change because it's too disconnected. Selling and delivering cannot be two separate things. The processes need to be connected. They need to be intertwined. And you look at those processes when selling a service or selling a system, you understand requirements, you demonstrate something, and if you're good, you sell something. And then separately, people will come along and actually scope how are we going to do that and what's the implementation going to look like. And selling and delivering were two things, whereas now it needs to be one thing. It has to be how are we as an organization partnering with the customer going to deliver customer success. Certainly from an Infor perspective, we have brought forward the complexity of the delivery into the sales cycle. So one of the first things that we do is we call it an Infor Agility Workshop, where we start to look at exactly how we will deploy this solution from an industry-specific perspective, using our implementation accelerators, which always used to be saved for the implementation. They were discussed in the sales cycle, but not in great detail, whereas now we actually have a process within what would traditionally be seen as the selling cycle, where we run through a delivery workshop and we break things up. So we call it the 60-30-10 workshop, where we believe that 60% of a customer's requirements should just be delivered out of the box. If it's an industry-specific solution, the bread and butter business processes should just be there and they should just work. And then the 30 represents things that still within the governance of the industry-specific implementation accelerator, we can configure to fit the requirements of the customer, which then leaves the 10, which is the stuff that is absolutely unique to the customer. And that's where we might need to get a bit more creative and maybe use workflows or use extensibility to deliver those requirements to the customer. But those are the processes that really differentiate the customer and give them their competitive edge. So we're actually having that discussion, and typically it's a 1 or 2 day discussion around the 60-30-10 and how to deploy this application as quickly and as effectively as possible. No longer are we in this world where we're selling something and then a separate team come along and almost start again to get the thing delivered. We're dealing with that up front. And rather than actually thinking about what it is and why are we going to buy it and then separately thinking about how we should deliver that at a later date, we actually think about the how up front. How are we going to deliver success? How are we going to make you more successful as a customer? And how are we going to get this new cloud-based service into your organization in a way that is as non-intrusive as possible?
What are the key challenges that organizations face during this transition process? Not how you solve it, but what are the things that they need to consider up front, the things that will take them longer than they expect possibly, and the things that are maybe more complex than they expect?
So when we talk about embracing and adopting new technology from a customer perspective, we're really talking about change. Change within a complex organization is a difficult thing to do. People are actually recognizing now that not changing can be fatal to an organization. Customers do need to think about their internal culture and almost foster a change culture within their organization and then nurture that as they go forward. Whether you're deploying a new cloud application or you're deploying transformative technology within your organization, you need to be ready for that. So we kind of break it down into a number of areas, really. We look at the tools. Do people have the right tools? Are the people correct within the organization? Because people can actually undo great work if they're not fully behind it. So making sure that people understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what the outcome will be is hugely important, because you need to have your workforce bought in to the process that you're going on. We also talk about encouraging an ideas culture within your organization. It's very rare that a software vendor or a cloud vendor will come along and say, this is exactly what you need to do to fix your business and get it ready for the next 20 years. That needs to come from within. So tools, people, and ideas are hugely important. And equally important is understanding what the point is. What is the value proposition of what we're doing? Because if you can't go to your executive board and display value output from the project that you want to do, you're not going to get the investment to do it anyway. So when you start to look at tools, organizations need to make sure that they are putting the correct, appropriate digital backbone in place. And we're not just talking about a bunch of applications here or a bunch of technology. We're actually talking about a well thought out application ecosystem that matches your requirements as a business. We need to think about a clear data strategy for what is it that we want to get out of this investment? How is the data going to help us to make better and faster business decisions? Now, underpinning all of that typically is a technical platform that needs to be accessible. It needs to be connected. It needs to be intelligent. People are fast realizing that traditional ERP applications are actually inadequate foundations for getting digital business done. And people need to look at the changing world of cloud and the changing world of enterprise applications and move away from that traditional ERP model to something Gartner define it as postmodern ERP, business application strategy that embraces a loosely connected portfolio of applications. And certainly from an Infor perspective, that's what we've tried to create and develop with our cloud suites. We have a core industry-specific ERP engine, and that ERP engine is surrounded with best-in-class components specific to that particular industry. So you get that best of both worlds of having an ERP that's built for the job and built for your industry, but still being able to benefit from some of those best-in-class capabilities around the edge. So making sure that your tools are appropriate for the next couple of decades, also making sure that those tools sit on a digital platform. We don't want to be bolting on IoT and separately bolting on AI capabilities and separately thinking about big data. Ideally, that should all be incorporated within to a single offering. And most cloud applications today do have those capabilities as part of the technical platform. When it comes to the people, it's important to, and this goes back to a conversation we had earlier, these things cannot be IT-led projects. They need to be business-led projects. They're actually creative and you're looking at the future and you're thinking about how to optimize and transform using technology and using a new way of doing things. So ideally, you're looking for individuals within the organization who are tech savvy but have exceptional business acumen, because it's a creative process, not a technical process. So engaging your workforce in what you're doing and making sure that you've got the right people to define the vision for the future, making sure that you've got the right people to build that and deploy that and roll that out within your organization to make a difference, and all of the time understanding what the impact is going to be. What's the impact going to be and what value does that drive for the organization? When we move on to ideas, creating an organization where people feel free to come up with crazy ideas, that's where innovation comes from. There's no such thing as a bad idea, and some of the best things that have happened in the modern world have actually come from crazy ideas. So allowing people to feel free within an organization to step forward with an idea about how to change something or how to do something differently or how to explore where technology can help can really help with the overall culture of the organization, rather than people feeling that they don't want to appear silly for coming up with an idea. They don't want to be laughed at because they might come up with some crazy idea. They should feel empowered and free to be able to contribute towards where the company might want to go. Just to recap there, making sure that the tools that you have at your disposal in terms of applications, cloud services, the technical platform that all of that sits on, making sure that that is ready for the future, making sure that you've got the right people, and making sure that they are free to contribute towards the future of the organization.
What happens if they've got legacy systems which are still critical to their business, can't be migrated to the cloud? Is that solvable? How do you approach that kind of problem?
It's an integration problem. Again, speaking from an Infor perspective, our technical platform has a built-in integration platform as a service capability. It supports today's hybrid world. It's almost impossible for an established organization who have been using IT systems for a number of years to make that big bang step and move from a completely on-premise world to a 100% cloud world. It needs to happen step by step. But you need to make sure that the platform that you deploy is flexible enough to support that. It may well be that you take an edge application, maybe CRM or expense management or human capital management, and you deploy that in the cloud, first of all, and you actually integrate that back to your on-premise business systems. Or you may do it the other way around. You may take your core ERP to the cloud and actually integrate that back to your on-premise edge solution. Whichever way you look at that, you are creating a hybrid environment. It's vital that the integration tools that you use are standards-based, they are open, they should not be point-to-point, and certainly the platform that we deliver, our integration platform as a service, processes XML from one application to another, and that XML is formatted using an open standard. And it supports applications that run on-premise, it supports applications that run in the cloud, and it does a really great job of integrating that using a canonical model where we're not creating point-to-point integrations from part number to item number. We're actually working with the complete transaction, whether it's an invoice, whether it's a customer record, whether it's a vendor record or a sales order or a purchase order. We work at that business document level using an open standard. So it actually makes integrating cloud applications and on-premise applications to create this hybrid environment quick, agile, and actually a lot easier than it used to be. It also then offers up other opportunities in terms of if I've got these documents moving from my on-premise CRM solution to my cloud-based ERP solution, why don't I take a copy of everything and put it into a central repository that I can use for reporting? So then we have what we call a data lake where every piece of information from every application, whether it's on-premise or in the cloud, all goes to a central data lake for reporting and analytics. So you have a true enterprise level reporting repository. And people have been speaking about the single version of the truth for a number of years without actually delivering that. Whereas now I think we're as close to it as we'll ever be with tools like the data lake, we underpin big data strategies and start to move people towards the world of predictive and prescriptive analytics and predictive and prescriptive operations. All of these are brought about by a solid integration platform that allows me to connect my older on-premise solutions to my go-forward cloud solution. So it is a challenge, but it can be solved quite elegantly if the technology is right.
In terms of the coronavirus pandemic and the lockdown, has that changed anything?
It's been interesting to observe. To have the remote working enforced on us and the world effectively going into lockdown had a massive impact. And I think there was a shock period. It was almost like a fear period for maybe 1 or 2 weeks when we first had to start working at home and we could see that our customers were stopping their operations and actually closing their factories. There was just this complete period of, this has never happened before, this is unknown, and huge feelings of insecurity around that. But we very quickly saw a bounce back, and we went into this period where let's make the best of a bad situation. And we saw that from our customers as well. And in those first couple of weeks, it was quite difficult to communicate with our customers, because they were trying to figure out what the new normal was and they were trying to understand what the impact would be on their businesses. But then we all came out of that period together. Things actually became very open. And obviously, you know, the whole world is on Microsoft Teams or Zoom at the moment. People are getting used to these new cloud-based productivity tools. The communication levels with customers started to rise again. We did see some selling opportunities disappear. We did see some selling opportunities postponed until we started to understand what this COVID situation was actually going to look like. And I'm still not sure if we fully understand what it's going to look like and what the future is going to be like. But certainly our customers, the majority of them, have continued to engage, have continued to work with us. We've actually seen some, I think, enhancements in the sales process because of remote working. We think about a typical process that we go through when we are working with a customer and they may be looking at a new cloud service is what we call a discovery process, where we understand their business, we speak to their key users on a function by function basis. So we may spend time with finance and sales and planning and procurement, etc. We've started to do that remotely using Microsoft Teams or using Zoom because we've had to, but we've actually very quickly realized that they offer up huge benefits. And in terms of capturing information and transcribing information and being able to validate that information really quickly with your customer to make sure that your understanding is right, we're doing that in minutes now, rather than days, purely because the meeting itself has happened remotely and we've been able to record things and capture things. Although there was that initial shock at the start of all of this, we very quickly recovered and very quickly moved into this new way of doing things. And we've had to do that as a technology provider, and our customers have had to do that, because everybody has realized that we cannot just sit here and do nothing, because if we sit here and do nothing, our businesses will die. Anything that we can do to keep things ticking along and anything that we can do to salvage what we have from our business and to keep trading, we will do that. And the same goes for how they approach technology.
How has the current COVID-19 changed the selling cycle during this lockdown period?
Our customers are certainly looking to the future and making sure that they are in the best possible position that they can be in for when a degree of normality returns to all of our lives. Much of that does involve the impact of technology. Many customers are actually looking at what we're going through right now as a great time to deploy new technology into the business, where perhaps key people within the organization are not as busy as they would be under normal time, so they can actually get involved in some of these strategic projects of how to deploy new applications, how to deploy cutting-edge technology within the organization. It's just having to be delivered in a different way. We've seen some great examples of that as well, actually, in terms of it's not always vital to have people on site in your factories deploying software. Much of that work can be done remotely. We've had a significant go live in Saudi Arabia within the last 4 weeks for a Caterpillar dealer in Saudi Arabia. It was a fairly lengthy implementation, probably around about 9 to 12 months. And the last 3 months of that implementation was done 100% remotely with the Infor staff and the customer staff at their homes. And they had a successful go live, delivered on time, delivered on budget. So I think people are certainly learning about what the new world will be like, but actually seeing that there's some huge advantages of doing things in a different way. And much of that is driven by technology, and a huge amount of that is driven by cloud technology.
Coming back to one of the first things you said, you talked about choice and choice of applications. And I just wanted to clarify, were you talking about choice or were you talking about breadth of functionality within the applications available, or a mixture of both?
A mixture of both. Cloud-based ERP tended to be smaller in terms of functional breadth and functional depth, also tended to be relatively generic. We think about some of those first pure cloud-based ERPs. They were probably okay for smaller organizations, but the second that you were into a complex A&D organization or a complex food and beverage automotive manufacturing environment, they were just not fit for purpose. It's only really over the last 18 months where we've started to see more complex solutions and services being made available in the cloud. And that has been the point that more established manufacturers can say, actually, there is an application in the cloud that fits our needs, because it is industry specific, designed for food and beverage, or it's designed for automotive or A&D or whatever industry you're in. That was not always the case. So choice was purely driven by functional capabilities. But we're certainly seeing now a lot more choice around industry specific capabilities being delivered in the cloud. Infor are delivering those within our industry specific cloud suites. We're delivering that truly cloud multi-tenanted services, meaning that our customers can benefit from a constant delivery process of new innovation, a constant delivery process of new capabilities and new technologies, because they're operating in the cloud. So they're always on the latest version. They're using software that's built for purpose, delivering the last mile capabilities that they need within their industry. That was not available 3 years ago. It was a fairly bland range of generic solutions running in the cloud. any element of complexity within your business and you were going to struggle to find the right solution.
If a manufacturing organization thinks they want to move to the cloud now, what's the first step they need to take in terms of preparation to do so?
I think this comes back to an answer that I gave earlier in terms of how organizations should prepare themselves for change, making sure that you have cultural readiness amongst your people, making sure that you are aware that there's going to be significant change within your organization and you have a strategy to manage that. And then there's the technical readiness, assessing what's available to you in terms of tools, making sure that whatever digital backbone you deploy is ready and appropriate from an applications perspective, from a data perspective, from a technical platform perspective, and all of that is accessible, connected, and intelligent. Making sure that the people are right and the culture is right, and making sure that the technical readiness is there. Those two things go hand in hand, but as important as all of that is making sure that your organization is ready for it, making sure that people will embrace the change rather than rejecting the change.
Phil, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.